Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another edition of the NCAA Rugby Podcast. Well, the NCAA Rugby Podcast is, essentially, the National Clubs Association podcast, where we talk about divisions 3 and 4 of the game. 48 teams. How many games a week, Chris?
Should really know this now off by heart. 24.
24 games a week.
Yeah.
It's a lot of games.
That is a lot of games.
All on ncarugby.com. Chris is essentially the man behind ncarugby.com. He writes up the match reports, he writes up the In Focus Players of the Week, and the only thing he doesn't really have to do is present the podcast.
I know. I haven't quite made it a hat-trick yet, but no, it's without the NCAA rugby, without the leagues, I don't know what I'd be, Joe. So, no, what a season to continue being involved with these three divisions, which are just getting better and better as the week goes on. So, another podcast and the first of the new year.
Yeah, the first of the new year.
The new year.
And we are at Henley Hawks Rugby Club because, essentially, well, they're doing pretty well in National 2 South right now.
We've timed it pretty well. They've just moved to the top of National 2 South after the weekend's results, beating Worthing and Taunton, sort of doing them a favour, if you like, by beating Tunbridge Judians. So, yeah, we've timed it pretty well to be here. They've got two pretty big games coming up against Redruth and Tunbridge Judians over the next 2 weeks themselves. So, yeah, crucial period of the season for them. Henley, a club that went up from National 2 South, a few years ago, had the 1 year in National 1 before getting relegated, and it was sort of a transition process for the club, but we will get onto it later, won't we, Joe? But, you know, they finished fourth, I think, last year with 120 points, which is an obscene amount of points to not get into the top two with. But this year they've kicked on again, and it's been really tight at the top of National 2 South since the start of September, but the Hawks sit top of the pile at the moment going into that final weekend of January.
The Hawks flying highly above the rest so far. They are currently top with 80 points in National 2 South, and second is Tunbridge, with Taunton in third with 72. So, essentially, they have the chance this weekend against Redruth to open up a gap, potentially, depending on how the results go. Mm-hmm. And then they have... Who do they have the week after? They have Tunbridge the week after. Yeah. So, essentially, there is a good chance that we could be speaking to the champions. Luckily, no one else is around us, so we're not jinxing anyone.
I think if Nigel walked back in, the director of rugby, or Luke comes in, who's the head coach here, they might say something differently, and you might hear those lines later. But I said to you on the train down here, Joe, that I think if the next two weekends do go the way of Henley, if they do come away with an unbelievably tough trip to Redruth with a positive result, and then get the job done here against Tunbridge Judians on Saturday, the 1st of February, I think it is, then I can't see them not winning the league. But this league's been so unpredictable this year. Anyone can beat anyone on the day. And we've seen, you know, the likes of Bournemouth in recent weeks really, really fight hard against Henley, and Bournemouth are bottom of the table. So it's not a given, but Max Ascroft will be pleased. I will get off the fence for this bit, that I do think if Henley do get the results over the next 2 weeks, that they'll take some stopping to win the league.
Yeah, of course. And the thing is, as well, if Henley do beat... I mean, we'll kind of go a bit more into this later. But if Henley do beat Redruth, it does give Taunton, probably in particular, a better chance of hitting that number two spot.
Yeah, I think Taunton will be having a good close eye on the next 2 weeks, Joe. I think, you know, seeing Henley go to a side that you mentioned before when we were over a coffee, that Redruth have sort of got themselves back into this fight for a top two spot, which may have gone under the radar slightly because of what's been happening between the top three teams. So if you're a Taunton fan, player, whatever management, you're thinking, let's do our job for the next 2 weeks. Yeah. If you're Tony Yap, you're thinking, let's do our job for the next 2 weeks. And then going into that second weekend of February, let's reassess where we are, because last week people may have been writing us off. I thought they probably were out of it after losing to Henley here, but they find themselves back in it, and it makes for a compelling couple.
But yeah, so we'll move straight on to a chat with two men in the know, which is the director of rugby, Nigel Dudding, and head coach, Luke Allen. And we are now joined by Henley Hawks Director of Rugby, Nigel Dudding, and Head Coach, Luke Allen. Firstly, thank you very much for having us down here this evening. We appreciate it.
Nice one, fellas. Thank you very much.
So, yeah, we're just going to kind of talk about your time in the league, how things are going this season, because they're going fairly well at the minute.
No? Yeah.
I think it's about where we hoped we would be, somewhere in the top four. But we've just sort of said we'd keep him, you know, feet firmly on the ground and just taking the old cliche about one game at a time.
I think you have to stay grounded like that, because if you do get ahead of yourself, you set yourself up for a fall. And I think complacency is the biggest killer. Most teams who have a bit of a winning streak or are doing well. So we do have to keep our heads down and just keep working hard, and week on week, learn from a win or a loss, and then look to be better for the next weekend. That's what you can do, really.
Because I know, Luke, after the Taunton win here a couple of weeks ago, you said exactly that. So was it important for both of you to see the performance that you put in at the weekend against Worthing?
Yeah, I mean, we've come from a team where it's actually learning how to win and lose. And then obviously we've got to say we're winning quite ugly at times. And I think you agree with that, wouldn't you, Nigel?
Yeah, Bournemouth absolutely. was probably one of those.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was sort of post-Christmas as well. And if you look at that league, that weekend, you know, Tonbridge didn't have it all their own way as well. So it was just a bit of a leftover from Christmas.
And I think it's really important that, you know, we take it for granted that we're winning. But then, okay, when we're at this position where we're winning and things are going good, so to speak, we need to actually be actually more critical at times. I know it's very hard when players are like, well, look, we're winning now, but from a management and coaching point of view, that can change in a pennant. So we have to make sure that we then focus on the performance. So, okay, we're winning, but how can we make it so we can control factors in the game to make it easier for us to win? Especially when we've got to watch from the touchlines. It's it's hair-raising stuff at times, isn't it?
It is. But as I said, it's, you know, good sides will always look to improve. And that's what we want to do. We just want to edge and improve each week. You know, and these guys, the coaches, are the ones who, you know, who facilitate that for them. So, we're looking on building each week.
So was that sort of the message when you guys came back in the summer? Because if you look at the top four last year, you finished, I think, 120 points, which is an obscene amount not to finish in the top two. So is it, you know, yes, we've done really well, but we've got to sort of not start fresh, but keep building on what was last year?
Yeah, I certainly last year it was very much, you know, we'll get there and we'll see where we are at the end of the season. And to be honest, there was no expectation, really, was there, Luke, in terms of getting up there and being there. If we were in there at the end of the day, then we were going to be there. And I think there was a bit of a change in emphasis this year. You know, we've seen how we can improve. We've strengthened the squad. We've enlarged the squad. You know, and that's paying dividends now.
Yeah, definitely. I think back to 2 years ago, obviously, at the end of last year, we look now, and actually, it's not just the team of players we've got, but it's actually the management and the coaches. We've got a fantastic group of men and women behind the scenes who are doing a fantastic job week in, week out. And I think myself and Tom Gardner, the head league coach, who's with us as well, he's, you know, works tirelessly to focus on opposition and, you know, putting some plans and plays into place. And he, as well as Alan Alcock and Andy Jones and Tommy Haynes, the second team coach, as a collective, we work week and week to not only develop player skills, make sure they're as fit and strong as possible with the help of Duncan Bennett, the head of S&C here. And it's like a collective effort where we all buy in and try and make sure these players come to training each Tuesday and Thursday and develop. Mm. And on that then, we sort of found, especially last year, that the performance on the pitch was increasing, which you'd expect to. And then we had last season's results are coming in. And we achieved a beyond expectations massively. And it's hard not to get embroiled in that. And then you think, actually, okay, we can actually achieve something here. And we're gutted not to to come away with anything last year. Was it the right thing that happened? Yeah, I think it was. In looking in hindsight, I think if you go up to National One, you would have got swallowed up and swept back out. And we do not want that. Mm. And this year has been a really good year for us to sort of take stock and say, as you say, you know, it's gone well, but let's improve. And what can we improve on? And we try to target those areas. And realistically, I think now you're in a position where you can start to actually put plans into place to go to National One and survive there, like Chinner have, like Rams have. And it's a tough challenge. At the same time, you have to remain grounded. And, you know, that's what Nigel's good at doing, you know.
Yeah, I think one of the other crucial things this year has been having a competitive Bulls side, which is our second team, which has made sure that you know, we've been competitive week in and week out, so that those guys who come up into the team. I mean, last week at Worthing was a classic where we had three guys who were, you know, sort of regular second team players that come up, and because they've been playing second team rugby, you know, week in and week out, they were match fit, they were ready, and they were champing at it to come on. And I know a number of clubs at our level have struggled to have, you know, competitive second team games. So enlarging the squad and having that Bulls squad there being part of it is been crucial.
Yeah, because from an outsider looking in, you may think, well, look at Henley the last two seasons, 120 points last year, top of the table this year. But I think with you guys being so strong connections to the club, it has taken time, and that patience is maybe rewarded come April, do you think?
Yeah, I'd like to think so, or up there at least. I think we come into the season with, you know, we put it out there from the beginning to the players. We set them a challenge and we really put them in the spot and said, look, we're looking for a minimum of playoff place. I think it's very hard. You can't have a season like last year and say, okay, we'll come top five. You got to set your sights higher than that. You have to. And we put the challenge down. Do we, you know, we don't mention it every week about winning the league, but it's obviously in the background noise, so to speak. And it's just then for the players to start to begin to harness now. How do the players respond to having this, not a pressure, but a responsibility to achieve their potential? Mm. And that's what we want to do here, is both a playing perspective and a coach and management perspective, is just achieving the potential we have at this club. And I just want to touch on, obviously, last year as well. Last year was about establishing a club ethos again. That's one thing I think behind the scenes and on the pitch was lost a little bit. And I've been unbelievably happy with the response we've had in terms of people buying into the club again. And also, you come down and see, you know, ticket sales, stuff like that. People want to watch Henley because they want to be part of a club. And people want to watch it on a Saturday, and I think we've had that. Now you have to really focus on the performance part, because as soon as things behind the scenes start picking up, you've got to fulfil that on the pitch as well. So it's come together nicely. We're not getting ahead of ourselves, you know, but it's just nice to sort of sit back sometimes and think, okay, yeah, things are going the right direction. We've just got to keep working.
Yeah, just filing from me, I know probably I've seen obviously the articles in the press over the last couple of weeks where you've said it's all about one game at a time, but surely you guys probably feel the next 2 weeks are pretty crucial, with obviously Redruth are flying at the moment, but it's never an easy place to go, and then Tunbridge Judians here on the 1st of February. So do you feel that it is a crucial time if you are going to achieve those playoff spots?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly, you know, we looked at it and identified January as quite a crucial time. We've come in, we've got 15 points out of the three games that we wanted. It's always in the back of the mind. I think the challenge this week at Redruth is to take their home record. That's the first thing. And if we do that, then we're well placed for the following week. But you know, the old cliche about one game at a time is so important, and people just sort of, you know, gloss over that sometimes and get promotion sort of, you know,
you can't.
And if you look at the results in this league, anybody's vulnerable at any time. And you know, it's up to the coaches and ourselves as management as well to make sure that we've got this focus and that we can keep the guys there. And they've got to be enjoying it. And I think they do. You know, well, I know they do. It's a lot of fun. They've enjoyed winning. Momentum is building. And we will take that into down at Redruth. And we've taken two other home records from sides this year. So, you know, let's look for the best.
Absolutely, Joe.
Yeah, just kind of a quick question from me. England women down here tonight. How good is it to have Henley kind of recognised as a team by England Rugby to kind of have their players, their professional players, train alongside and with you guys tonight?
Yes, it's great, actually. I mean, I think we take it for granted a little bit, really, because you think each week you want to prepare. You know, from our perspective, it's like, right, we don't really upset the capital cart. We have processes in place. We're quite stringent on how we plan and go through things, especially Tom Gardner. He's now our F man, and he's a stickler for timings and, you know, preparation and make sure it's consistent. But having this opportunity to train with England women is fantastic. Not only is it a inset for us in terms of having some quality coaches coming down and, you know, letting us learn from them, so to speak, but also it's a good opportunity for the boys to be challenged, because I think sometimes it's all right doing run-throughs against, you know, low numbers, even though that hasn't been an issue for us, luckily, for the last 2 years, but it's then having quality opposition to go against and test yourself. For example, the forwards and line-outs, you know, crisping the line-outs systems up, and also just testing themselves against international players. You know, people think, oh, men versus women, but I think that goes out the window, if I'm being totally honest. And I think it's about these boys stepping up and making sure that they're, you know, keeping up with the women. And I'm looking forward to the boys having a bit of a different challenge as well, because it's about keeping it different. It's about making sure that there's new experiences being had by these players, so the enjoyment is there, because you become monotonous, it becomes boring, that's when it's a chore, and we do certainly don't want that, because, you know, we're looking to develop still.
Yeah, I think we've got a strong tradition of women's rugby at this club as well. You know, our women currently play in the Championship, and one of the few National League clubs that has, you know, both the National League for four of those internationals that won the World Cup. Their pictures are up in, so it's high profile at the club in terms of the women, and you know, we value their contributions as much as anything else, and this is you know, this is great for them, because they're and being engaged with it as well.
No, thank you very much for your time this evening. We'll kind of leave you to your normal routines now, and all the best for the rest of the season.
Thanks very much, James. Thank you.
National One. Now, the only thing really to say is that it's quite tight at the top of National One.
It's the headline dominator, I think, Joe, over the last sort of 2-3 weeks. It's been all about that title race in National One, who obviously was a big change of the dynamic on the weekend with Richmond picking up the points against Rams in a very hotly contested game. The Athletic Ground, big win for Richmond. A massive sort of milestone ticked off for them. I think we've talked about that game in March when they play Roslyn Park, Joe, and that could be the big one, but that is a big step for Richmond in terms of getting back to the Championship. I think it's the gap at the top now is 3 points, or correct?
Yes, so we have Richmond on 72 points, Roslyn Park on 70.
So 2 points, yeah.
And Rams on 69. So they didn't actually fall away that much at all. Roslyn Park probably, I think, leapfrogged them with their result
this
weekend. Yeah,
because, you know, Roslyn Park lost to Blackheath last weekend, or the weekend before, and they went down to third, and it was like, well, they have to win against Sale to get back into it. But you've seen how close it is, Joe. It's, you know, Roslyn Park are now 2 points behind Richmond, and they start the day 3 points behind Richmond on the weekend. So, great win for them against Sale. It was great for them to get back on the horse, but it's a big win for Richmond against Rams. And I know Roslyn Park have to play Rams as well, so in a way the ball's in their court really for Roslyn Park. But yeah, Richmond will be very happy to have got the result on the board against a Rams side that was, you know, playing so well and on a great run of form.
Have we ever seen a side come up from National 2 South and be as competitive as Rams in this league?
Good question. Since I started doing it, I think you probably throw in old Altamians potentially. I mean, they weren't in that first season. They didn't challenge as strongly for a title as Rams have done.
Yeah,
but they were sixth in the league, and then they came back. So I think Old Altamians would probably be the closest for me since I've started doing it. But yeah, you've got to, you know, we spoke to Jack Rossiter last week, and you know he was just saying they're just enjoying it. You know, 69 points after 19 games for them. I don't think anyone would have dreamt of that at the club. And he was saying that you look around the dressing room before we start the season, and he was honest and said none of those players really have National One experience, but you know, he said they might struggle to get one or two wins on the board, but look at where they are now. So they're really enjoying it, where you think Richmond, you think Roslyn Park, they may be thinking about taking that next step. So it's unbelievably close at the top, and it will absolutely continue until the latter months of the season.
And the thing is, I mean, I know we're kind of looking outside of the National Leagues for this, but whoever wins this league and is in the Championship next season, it's bizarre because they're going to be playing Saracens next year.
Yeah, we were at Harlequins, weren't we, before? And I think, I can't remember who it was. I think it was James Chisholm was saying, you know, it's those trips to Castle Park for Saracens, it's playing Richmond. And I think me and you looked at each other and went, well, he's got his money on Richmond to get into the Championship. So, you know, they will be playing Saracens. They may well be playing, you know, your Owen Farrells, your Vunipolis, your Itojis, your Jamie Georges. Who knows what will happen? But, you know, what's the prize of promotion to the Championship anyway is massive. But to potentially welcome Saracens to Old Bath Road or The Rock or wherever, it's a big prize at the end of it. So really, really interesting sort of conclusion the final 10 games of the season will be.
Yeah, and we're gonna just move on to a section I've just titled Middle of the Pack.
Middle of the Pack.
To talk about kind of the change in fortunes of so many of these kind of National League teams from last season.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to start with a team that actually have a couple of former players in that Saracens team. Ben Spencer, Alex Good, I think off the top of my head. So that would be Cambridge.
Nice.
For anyone that wasn't aware. Cambridge, like this time last season when we were doing the NCAA pod, we did a phone call with Richie Williams. It's probably still available somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Richie sounded a completely different man last season.
Yeah, it was. He knew it was a tough season for them. He did start to talk about, you know, the fight against relegation. They, you know, got out of it against Sale on the final day of the season. But they've managed to get themselves back playing some decent rugby. What a sort of Christmas period, winter period it's been for them. 5 straight wins, great win against Old Altamians on the weekend, and Richie just keeps tweeting and how proud he is of these players because they've really stuck out, and you've got to give them absolutely every credit to be in the top 8 now. They've really sort of fought away from any sort of relegation battle, and 5 straight wins in National One is no mean feat, so you've got to hand it to Cambridge. It's been a great period for them.
Yeah, in terms of the bottom of the table, we have to probably say that it's bye-bye time for Canterbury and Hull Ionians, 9 and 11 points.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that's done and dusted for them, I think.
So there's that third spot of relegation, and I've written down Rotherham and Birmingham Moseley just because there is 8 points between them. 8 points is what, 2 wins?
Yeah, pretty much 2 wins, but Rotherham will maybe have the psychological edge at the moment. I know Birmingham Moseley find themselves, I think it's 8 points clear, but Rotherham beat Birmingham Moseley on the weekend, and it's a massive win for Rotherham because I know we praised Cambridge there, but against Cambridge 2 weeks ago, Rotherham put in a really good performance, and actually Cambridge themselves said Rotherham's league position isn't a fair reflection of what this group of players is capable of, and Steve Salvin's come into the club and speaking to Jamie Cook, who's the centre, is the backs coach as well at club, he was saying, well, Steve's come in and just said, back to basics, focus, give it your all. There's no point playing for 40, 50 minutes. Play for the full 80 and never give up. And we're seeing that definitely over the last 2 weeks. To get that vital win against Birmingham Moseley, and there's still work to be done for them, but you know, they seem to have found a bit of a formula with Steve and with Martin at the club, so be very interested to see how they get on this weekend against Darlington Modern Park.
We have to be really honest, it is quite a shame to be seeing those two teams down there, because for so long they were professional outfits, they've had to transition into amateur outfits, and it just doesn't seem like things are clicking at the minute, even though off field we know they do such great work and they have like this hospitality that always seems to do well. Obviously, it's difficult for you to say. It's difficult for me to say. What does the club have to do? Just get a sound set of players in, like develop players for the next couple of years. Rather than all Birmingham Moseley, because Birmingham Moseley, the last 2 years, actually have been really underperforming.
I think they had a lot of personnel change over the summer. Adam Bolden coming to the club, and they're still going through transition. This is the thing, it does take time for new players to gel and click. They had a good start to the season, didn't they? But they've just fallen off the boil a bit. I think they got a good win against Cinderford the other week, but... Mm-hmm. That would have been a bit of a blow to them to lose to Robin Titans, but it's still in their court. They've got some great players, and I think it's just still that transition period. But we're here at Henley Hawks tonight, and you could arguably say they've had 2 or 3 years of transition in National 2 South, so there has to be patience with this. And I know some fans will want to see Moseley back to the heights of the Championship, but you have to be patient, because these National Leagues over the last 3-4 years have become so competitive, you know, it does take a bit of time. And now we're joined on the NCAA podcast by Jake Halbin and Sam Lunnan. Lads, thanks very much for joining us this evening. And first of all, Jake, waking up Sunday morning, having a look at the National 2 South table, must have been pretty pleased.
Yeah, it's a nice place to be. You know, it's one of those things I think you can quite easily take it for granted at this point in the season. So, like I said, it's a really nice place to be. A lot of rugby left to play, but I think whilst we're top, we've got to try and enjoy it as much as we can. So yeah, it's nice to see, you know, the hard work that we've put in so far in the season get us to somewhere, but, you know, it's got us nothing yet because we've got a long way to go.
And as co-captain, Sam, is that a message that's been brought down from the coaches and into the players that, as Jake just said, it's nothing's been won yet and you've got to just keep focused and take each game as it comes?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's one of those whereby we're quite player driven here, and we sort of lead from the front between ourselves, but also there's a good sort of core leadership group, so it's not just us pushing it forwards and the coaches. There's 11 games left, it's a long old way to go. Anything can happen. We've got a big block of 4 games now before the week off, and as cliche as it is, let's go game by game and then we'll see what happens after that.
And obviously, Sam, you're involved in a team last year that racked up 120 points, which is a big number not to finish in that top two. So was it about you guys just continually building on that and not changing too much about what you did?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so I arrived last year with probably 6 or 7 new players. It was a completely new coaching setup, and last year was a bonus, I think, more than anything else. I think a lot of nobody really knew what to expect, and we sort of rode that wave. And coming into this year, maybe we've put a little bit too much pressure on ourselves potentially, but, you know, we're doing well, and that's, you know, we've only lost 2 games and obviously got a draw there as well, but we are doing really well as a squad, and it's now pushing forwards to see where we can finish this year. And obviously we're this close and we've got to talk about promotion now, I think.
Yeah, and you've been sort of on the journey, Jake, with this club when they're in National 1 and sort of the rebuilding process in National 2 South. And we said to Luke and Nigel before that these things do take time. So is this now the club reaping the rewards from the fact you've got the coaching set up spot on? Like you said, the players are fully invested in this as well.
I think so. I mean, we made those changes a couple of years ago, and, you know they happened at the time, for whatever reason. We couldn't change that, but since those changes happened, the club's took a massive step forward. And I think it's really important that, as you know, we continue this journey this season and even past that, we don't forget, sort of, we are a team that's in the second year of building after a complete change around at the club. A lot of new faces brought in. We've gelled really well, which is fantastic. But I think, you know, as much as we keep moving forward and we keep progressing, it's really important that we keep an eye on, you know, where we came from and use that as a sort of thing to look back. And I think, you know, we're doing all right here, so it's good, yeah.
And just on the game side of things last weekend, Jake, obviously getting that win against Worthing was a great result for you guys, but was it even more satisfying the fact that you'd beaten Taunton the way you did, but then putting that sort of performance at Worthing, which is never an easy place to go?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that Taunton game took out a lot of energy. It took a lot of emotion to get over the finishing line in that game. And, you know, for the first time this season, it's probably one of the only games that we've controlled from minute 1 to minute 80. We've always sort of had a lull at some point in the game where we've either let teams get back into the game or haven't kicked on. So to go there and put in a complete 80 minutes performance like we did against a good Worthing side is obviously massive. I mean, I think we left a few points out there towards the end of the first half especially, but to come back out in that second half and really kick on was something that was really pleasing. I think we can take lots of confidence from that moving into the last 11 games.
Yeah, and Nigel said to us before that it's been really positive you've been able to pick up 15 points from a possible 15 to start off the new year. But I think anyone who just looks at the league table sees how big these next 2 weeks for you guys are. Do you get the sense that these are really crucial weeks if you do want to finish the way you are, or is it the same old straight down the bat?
Yeah, I mean, it is sort of straight down the bat, definitely. It's, you know, Red Roof's never a good place to go, never massively enjoyable, and so we're flying down Saturday morning, so do the travel and things, but you can't make any excuses. It is going to be a difficult game, absolutely, but the way we are, yes, it is a big game, but you could argue the other 10 games are a big game. I think that sort of Tunbridge game when they come over here in a couple of weeks' time, look, there's no sort of hiding away from it. It's going to be a big game in terms of the title race and where we are and things like that. But just like we said when Taunton came here, ultimately it's another game. And we have to control the controllables and go from where we can.
And just finally from me, guys, we put out an Instagram message today saying we're here this evening, and a couple of Red Roof lads got in touch and said they're really up for the fight on Saturday. I don't know whether that makes you even more determined to go down there after a long journey.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been to Red Roof and they've not been up for the fight. So
going down to the corner.
Right? Yeah. So, you know,
see you there.
Thanks for the comments and everything, but I think we're expecting that anyway, lads. And you know, if you go down to Red Roof and you don't give you a tough physical game, then I think you leave disappointed. So we're really looking forward to it. We felt we were perhaps unlucky to draw the game here early on in the season. Yeah. It's a game that we should have won. So you know, we're going down there with a bit of emotion put behind it as well. So I'm sure it'll be a cracking game.
Great stuff, well, lads. Thanks very much for your time, and obviously all the best for the remaining 11 games of the season.
Thanks. Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers.
National 2 North now. Well, the thing is, we've seen them on local television.
We have.
Caldy at the top of the table, 86 points, and looks like they've secured their instant return to National 1 after relegation last season. Chris, they've taken the ball by the horns and they've rode it to the finish line.
Pretty much. They're nearly there, aren't they, really, Joe? Yeah, they were on BBC North West tonight, last week, after beating Loughborough, and they made it 18 out of 18 at the weekend after sort of swatting aside Luctonians. I think it's 31-3 in the end away from home. It's they're just no stopping. I mean, I think it's one of the Sedge photographers, Glenn Hutton, tweeted they haven't played Sedgley Park yet, Coldy, so that might trip them up. But they've beaten every other team so far in the league, and yeah, they've just been relentless. I mean, I think I said it on the last podcast over Christmas that they managed to keep a lot of the players that were in this division a couple of years ago. You know, Nick Royal's been doing this for so many years, chipped in with another try at the weekend. You know, Gavin Roberts at centre has been brilliant for them this season, and players like that, you know, JJ Dickinson spoke about it earlier in the season to us. It's a really good tight-knit unit there, and it could have easily been broken up with them going down to National 2-0. But Gareth Davis has been at the club for a long time, and he's managed to continue this sort of, I think it's a vision that Coldy have to be in National 1. They firmly believe they're a Tier 3 club, so you can't fault them, can you, Joe? They've been absolutely unbelievable this season, and yeah, I think now even, you know, those Coldy fans who might not be wanting to tempt fate, I think it's a pretty sure done deal that they'll definitely finish in the top two, if not go and run away with the league title.
Well, it says a lot about a club that can retain players for such a long amount of time and keep this team together to get them back in National 1 and then potentially press on in National 1 next season. Second and third filed 73 points, Sedgley Park Tigers 69 points. They seem to be the two teams challenging for that playoff space.
Yeah, it's been a bit of tit for tat in recent weeks, Joe. It was sort of filed, we're in a bit of a command, but I think they lost. I think it was Sheffield Tigers. I think they got beat by Fylde, and Sedge were sort of backing into it. But the last couple of weeks have been a bit of a flip reverse, if you like. You know, Sedgley Park losing to Tynedale was an interesting one, and Huddersfield dropped points as well. I'm sorry, Fylde dropped points and lost to Huddersfield. So that was a week where, you know, Sedge may be thinking, well, that's where we could have gone above them. And then this weekend, Fylde showed exactly the reaction Warren Spragg's side probably would have wanted. 50-10, I think it was, against Tynedale. Brilliant performance. Tom Carlton, four tries for him. on absolute form when the club needed them most, and said showed the resolve and the resilience and the character if they are going to get into that top two against Stourbridge. 21-3
round out a win.
Yeah, 21-3 said Joe, they were down and they managed to score, turn that around in the second half, and Steve Collins was excellent by all accounts from the tee, from hand. So yeah, it's a big win for the Sedge, and it might not feel like it. They may be disappointing to have only just got past Stourbridge, but you know, I spoke to Max on Monday and he was saying that, you know, Stourbridge shouldn't be where they are in the league. They're a much better side than the league position suggests. So it's a big win for Sedge at the weekend, and we know that February is a big month for these top three sides. Sedge and Coldy have that game in hand, and pretty sure File play Sedge as well, so, or it might be File play Coldy, I'm not too sure off the top of my head, but I think by the end of next month Joe will know pretty much who's going to be in that top two going into March and that final month of the season. So it is still very tight, and like you say, I think the battle for second is going to be going to the wire.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. February probably is the defining month for at the top and bottom of the table for each league, probably.
Yeah, I think January, we'll go on to it, Joe, has been a big month at the bottom of the National 2 North. I think some of the games that have been played, some of the results we've seen, have really changed the picture at the bottom, and I know we'll go on to it. But yeah, I think so, Joe. I think sort of the next month will sort of paint a better picture for us. I know for us as journalists and reporters, we like to see it go down to the wire, but I do think where the results have gone in recent weeks, it's slowly becoming clearer about who's going to stay in the league and who isn't.
Yeah, and we are going to look at who probably isn't going to be in the league next season. Scunthorpe have had difficulties this season. They've had some pretty traumatic stuff happen off the field, which we've touched on before. So they're on 6 points. There's no mathematical way, to my knowledge, that they could stay up.
There is, you know, they're not mathematically down at the moment, but I remember when I was reporting for Stockport, we were in this league, and I think we had a slightly more points at this stage of the season and score four path, and I think everyone at the club was resigned to the fact they were going down to National 3 at the time. And I think Scunthorpe, it's been a really tough season for obvious reasons, and they're still sort of searching. I think they're still looking for that first win. So yeah, I think their time in National 2 North is slowly running out. But for those other teams, Joe, they're still in the fight. I think Preston are just about in the fight. Yeah. I don't think they would have been too happy before the start of the game to take a draw away at Wharfdale. It wasn't the best result for Arnie's men, was it?
No, not really. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Preston potentially out at this point with 29 points. That is because they are 10 points in that third drop spot. But we also have to say Huddersfield, Wharfdale and Otley are all probably in contention to take that drop spot, depending on how Luctonians do for the rest of the season, as well as Huddersfield, how each other do.
Yeah, it's a good way of looking at it, Joe. I think Hoppers, Paul Arnold said before the game on the weekend against Wharfdale, that these are two critical weeks for the club. They played Wharfdale, they've got the draw, they play Huddersfield this weekend, I believe. Yeah. It's a massive game for them. It's an absolutely massive game for them. They win that, it could be the catalyst they need. They'd lose, that could be another nail in their sort of National 2 coffin, if you like. And you've got to hand it to, I mean, Luxolians, they played so well in recent weeks. I think they've won three of the last six games, beat Chester away from home a couple of weeks ago, which is no easy feat. Having covered the league for the last 2-3 years, Chester have been incredibly strong at home. But to find them in the bottom three, they've still got a great chance of survival, though. But Huddersfield, you know, Gareth Lewis there, he texted me the other week about how tight it's going to be down at the bottom, but Huddersfield, you've got to give them credit. You know, they've had a really tough sort of first half of the season, but to go and put on a performance against Sedge and so nearly beat Sedge, to then beat Fylde as well, and then also get the result they did at the weekend against Scunthorpe, they find themselves out the bottom three. And if they were to get the win against Preston, I think it is at Preston at the weekend. I know, I think it's at Huddersfield, I'm not sure, not too sure, but if they were to get the win at the weekend, I think that is a massive, massive, massive win for him, and that could be enough to keep them in this league. So I think it will be tight between Huddersfield and Luxonians. You know, you've got the likes of Wharfdale who aren't saved just yet, so it's going to be pretty interesting in there over the next couple of months, as I keep saying.
Yeah, and just a special mention, special kind of shout out to PJ Millay, club captain of Preston Grasshoppers. We learned last week in the InFocus article that PJ sadly suffered a heart attack after the game. We didn't realise.
I wasn't aware of that. I think it was on Twitter and stuff, but yeah, Tom Davidson, who we interviewed last week, said, you know, they've been struggling with players missing, and he said PJ had suffered a heart attack after the Hartley game. But you know, after that article, he mentioned, you know, he put the statement up on Twitter saying he's going to retire from the game. And yeah, you know, I think having known him from the Stockport days, I think first and foremost, you know, first and foremost, he's an absolutely top man. You know, a lot of people at Stockport put their arm around me when I first got there in terms of doing interviews, but PJ was one of those guys who was always willing to help. And I mean, ever since then, he's kept in touch with the NCN. It was great to catch up with him at the start of the season before for the first podcast of the year. So yeah, all the best to PJ moving forward. I'm sure he's going to be sticking around the game as much as he can.
He'll be coaching with Arnie.
Yeah, he could be coaching with Arnie. What a combination that will be. But yeah, no, all the best to PJ going forward, and hopefully he stays around the game for many years to come.
Yeah, and now to move on to another interview, time at Henley Hawks. Enjoy that one. Right, and as time draws closer to training, we are joined by Ewan Finley. Fenley, sorry, I can't read my own writing, and it's on a tablet. So Ewan, you're two-time NCAA Player of the Week. First season with Henley, how are things going so far?
Yeah, it's going well. I'm really enjoying my time here. Honestly, the club's it's such a good club, and honestly, since I've arrived, they've been, you know, really good to me. You know, I've played loads of rugby. I'm really enjoying it.
And of course, because are you with Ealing Trailfinders as well is it Academy Scholar they call them over there?
Yeah. So I do my university over at Brunel, which has a link with Ealing as well, so I sometimes get to go over and, you know, train with the first team boys up there, and which is just good experience. But then, you know, I'll still come here and, you know, train every week and get my game time here, really.
And obviously playing in the National Leagues has probably been quite helpful with development and stuff like that, especially in such regular rugby, like you say. What have the coaches at Ealing been saying so far about you, your kind of development this season, and how they feel like you're going?
Well, I think they're pretty impressed. I think they're enjoying, I think they're liking the fact that I'm playing lots of rugby and actually, you know, getting to improve, really. It's not all about, you know, playing well. It's just learning from your mistakes and actually getting out there on the pitch, getting some match fitness.
And does it help as well with the team playing so well at the moment that you're also enjoying your rugby here as well, you?
Yeah, it's all about enjoying your rugby. Otherwise, there's no point really playing, is there? So, yeah. And obviously, you know, if you're doing well and you're winning games, you're going to enjoy it. But yeah, most of it's about, you know, all the camaraderie, being with a good bunch of lads.
And one of the personal highlights for you must have been those four. Was it four tries against Dings Crusaders? I think.
Yeah, that's probably my highlight. Yeah, that was a good game actually. But yeah, for me, I mean, every time we get a win, it's always good. You know, we all have a nice song after the game, and it's all, you know, all about being together. And so that's really my highlight, is actually just, you know, feeling like I'm part of a team.
Yeah, and just on, you talked about your development there and the setup Ealing of Brunel have, it seems like it's going in only one direction. Is that such another positive thing to be a part of in terms of your rugby development?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a new programme over there, and the opportunities they've given, there's a few boys that have come here playing their rugby. You know, loads of other boys are going on loan to other clubs in national leagues, and it's all valuable experience, you know. And you know, for Ealing, it's ideal, and it also helps Henley, who are obviously have aspirations too.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a couple of more questions from me. You went on the season so far. Obviously, last weekend, the brilliant result for you guys against Worthing, but was it important for you to get that win because of the previous week's win over Taunton, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's good to always back up performances and you know, prove it's not a fluke. And I think we've done that. We've, you know, after a really tough game against Taunton, we've then backed up a week after away at away at Worthing, which is a tough place to go. And, you know, they didn't stop playing for the whole 80 minutes, so we really had to dig in. So it's really, you know, it's credit to the boys for, you know, really sticking out for the full 80 minutes.
Yeah, we've spoken to, you know, Nigel and Luke tonight, and they've always come out with the message that it is taking one game at a time. But do you feel going into the next 2 weeks, you and obviously Redruth away speaks for itself, a tough place to go, but Tunbridge here at the start of February, do you feel like it is a crucial stage in the season, or is it just can't look too far ahead of this stage?
Yeah, I think that's all thinking quite far ahead, really. I mean, you just got take it week on week, you know, it's a cliche, but you just got to, you know, we got Redruth this week, and, you know, that's a game when you see it in the calendar, you got to focus, because, you know, it's so easy to go down to Redruth and lose, you know. And yeah, all focus is on that, and then after that we'll start focusing on, you know, whoever we've got the week after.
And obviously, just finally from me, you and the ice on the cake this year would be if you were to make it into National One. But for you personally, if you come away from this season with that maybe in the bag, but your personal development, you must be really pleased going into sort of your next sort of stage with Ealing and Brunel with this under your belt.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm so happy that that the club here are doing well, and just being part of that, you know, it feels great. And also, you know, I'm enjoying my rugby, as I've said earlier, and that's, you know, at the end of the day, what it's all about, really.
Great stuff. That's it from me.
Well, Ewan, we don't want you to get in trouble with any of the coaches, so we'll let you go to your training session. Enjoy tonight. England women, of course, are here, yep. So you're going to be training against with them. So enjoy that, and all the best for the rest of the season.
Perfect. Thank you.
Many thanks to Ewan for his time there. He was actually genuinely in a rush.
He really was. I think it was closing in on 7 o'clock when we were recording it. So he was in a rush. Great to chat to him. Brilliant that he says what he says about sort of the Brunel partnership with Ealing. It seems to be something that's thriving. We're seeing it on social media, but he's been absolutely fantastic, and Nigel and Luke were singing his praises off air, so I'm sure he'll be in action at the weekend doing the business which he's been doing all season.
Yeah, he's been very impressive so far this year, but we might as well move on to National 2 South now before doing our games of the week. We've condensed the games of the week because I used to do 9 and now I've just realised it was too many.
Yeah, it helps me with the preview as well, Joe, if you do 3, so.
Yeah, there we go. And also, lazy. Usually the in-focus piece as well, actually.
Yes.
So we've got a bit of a teaser for the in-focus, I suppose, then.
Maybe.
Well, it's one of these 3 games.
Yeah.
National 2 South, Henley Hawks. I don't think we've mentioned it, but
no, we haven't mentioned them at all. Top of the pack, as we said, Joe. I don't think we need to go into it again, but yeah, absolutely on form at the moment. 9 straight wins is something we've never mentioned. They've been really, really good, and it was interesting hearing Nigel and Luke say how important it was to get 15 points on the board at the start of the new year. They've hit that target, but we know how big this weekend is going to be against Redruth.
Yeah, and Tunbridge, 4 points adrift, 76 points. Taunton, 72. So Taunton, very much kind of they've had a bit of a drop, but things kind of seem to be back to normal.
Back in it, that defeat against Henley, I was the first one that thought, oh, here we go again for Taunton around the winter period. The last 3-4 years they seem to have had one or two results. I think last year they got 4 wins in a row actually this time last year, but then dipped off just after January or after the Christmas period. But they've come back recently, come back really well after that win at the weekend against Tunbridge Judians. I mean, Isaac Dalton, who's the prop, has been on absolute try scoring form this season. No one can really stop him, and he turned up again. Big game performance from him at the weekend against the league leaders. But Tony Appsider absolutely massively back in the race at the moment, so big win for them. But obviously Tunbridge Judians there or thereabouts. These are 3 teams, by the way, that all hit over 120 points last season, so this is why this league is going to be so interesting, this title race.
Yeah, Taunton losing Greg Kitson. Yeah, his dad yesterday.
His dad Robert Eddie Jones's press conference yesterday, and just on that, I think it's a good point you make there, Joe. It's great to hear, like, Rob, obviously one of the leading journalists, rugby journalists in the country, speak so highly about Taunton and the setup down there and how good the coaches are and the national leagues for players. So he was down there. I think he played his last game a couple of weeks ago because he's gone to Australia
for a few years.
But great to hear, you know, National 2 South being talked about like that by someone who's always speaking to, you know, the likes of Eddie Jones, etc. So great to hear that.
Yeah, so Henley are playing Redruth this weekend. Redruth are one of the sides that me and you've said potentially could get back into this top kind of 4, top 2 kind of race. But if Henley win at the weekend, that gives Tunbridge, and it's weird because you don't want your competitors so close to you to be winning, but if they win, it means Redruth pretty much potentially might not get in that top 2 race.
But this is what we want. We want it like this, you know. We don't want, you know, 2 teams absolutely flying at the moment. We don't want 2 teams running away with it, if you like, at the moment, and not really being a big battle. Redruth, you've got to hand it to them. You know, we've heard the lads, you know, Jake and Sam say there, it's always a difficult place to go. You're always fired up when you go down there, you know, long flight over on Saturday morning, but they've been brilliant. You know, 10 wins, I think it is, from the last 11. I might be wrong on that, but either way, they've just got on the radar. You know, they've just sort of got on with the business. They've got these wins, and whilst the spotlight from myself has been put on those top 3 teams, Redruth would just continue to grind out results, and this is going to be a big test for them. Because I tell you what, whisper it quietly, because we are sat in Henley Hawks at the dry leaves at the moment, but if they were to get the result against Henley at the weekend, what an unbelievable rise towards the top 2 this would be for Nigel Hanley's side. Because I think this time last year, Joe, I think he came back to the club.
It was stark contrast, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Stark contrast, exactly how it summed up. They weren't in the right place. Nigel came in and it was the home form that he was really pleased with. The away form wasn't clicking, but they seem to have found the right balance now, and then, you know, in really good shape going into the weekend.
And one of the things that Redruth have changed is that they've brought in a whole load of guys from Cornwall. And that just kind of makes the side a bit more. It's kind of like Cornwall's team, essentially, if you like.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at sort of what Henley have done here, they've really built a squad. You know, Nigel was saying there, the second team players came in last weekend to play Worthing, which is really positive for them. And you're looking at like Redruth for building those foundations from sort of the local lads. So, yeah, they've got the right balance there, I think, at the moment. And like I say, if they were to get the result on the weekend, it really, really blows this title race wide open.
Yeah, and of course, if Henley do win, they beat Redruth, and who have they got the week after that?
Tunbridge Juddians, and
That's the gauntlet there.
Yeah, you know, we're speaking to Catherine, who runs the social media side of things then, and she was saying, you know, off the record, who do you think is going to win?
We'll put it on the record now.
Well, I'm going to put it on the record now that I said, you know, I said to her, and I said to Joe before when we were travelling down here, that I do think if Henley get the two wins over the next couple of weeks, they will go on to win the league. That's no disrespect to any of the other teams in the league, because we've seen how competitive it is. But it's a big couple of weeks, but it's going to be so, so interesting. If Henley do get the result down in Cornwall this weekend, what a game to kick off February next weekend.
Yeah, so after the top comes the bottom, as per in the NCAA Rugby podcast. It seems like Old Redcliffians, Sutton and Epsom and Bournemouth are all but out, because they've got 19, 17 and 15 points.
Yeah, I think the Bournemouth situation is interesting, because I know they've got this game against Sutton and Epsom. Decisions still to be made on whether that's going to be replayed or not.
Yeah, funny. Have we actually touched on that in this podcast?
I think we did mention it. Okay. We're still waiting for it to be finalised from the people far more important than me.
And
Joe. So we are waiting for news on that. But yeah, I mean, Bournemouth, you know, yes, the bottom of the table, but they really played well against Henley a couple of weeks ago. They did the same, I think, against Tunbridge Juddians as well. So, you know, there's still got to be belief in that camp, and especially going into this weekend, because I know they've got Westcliff, I think. Yeah, they're playing Westcliff this weekend.
They've got Westcliff this weekend, who are just above the top three with 29 points. So actually, when you think about it, that's what, three, four wins?
Yeah, it's, you know, it is three or four wins. You know, they have had a tough run of fixtures, Bournemouth. They've definitely played Tunbridge, and they've definitely played Henley. So, you know, it's one of them where this is the games they might be targeting. You know, at this stage of the season, they might be saying, right, we need to get the win here. But I think you look at Westcliff, and they may have done that. You know, they played Sutton and Epsom 2 weeks ago, got the result. They beat Old Redcliffians on the weekend, and they've had those games, and they've taken full advantage, and it might be Bournemouth's turn to do it this weekend.
Right, on to the games of the week. National One's game of the week that we've highlighted is Darlington, Maldon Park versus Rotherham, mainly because of Rotherham, the implications this could have for Rotherham if they had a good win.
I think we're just exhausted with all the title race stuff in National One.
And this week, we don't talk about that.
Yeah, and if you look at it, we said before, Joe, when we're going through the fixtures, you're looking at it, there aren't really many key fixtures, if you like.
There's, with all due respect, there's a lot of games this week that you'd expect the top teams to probably get the better of the opposition.
Yeah.
Is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Of course, in rugby, in a National One, you never know, but in your head, you're already saying there's a good chance that Richmond will win this weekend, there's a good chance that Rams will win this weekend, there's probably a decent chance that Chinnow will win this weekend as they try to kind of chip away at those top three teams.
Yeah, you're right, Joe, and that's why Rotherham, I think, because the win last weekend, we've highlighted them. Obviously, going to Darlington is never easy. Darlington, such a strong side. We've seen them in the recent weeks. They perform really, really well as well. So, yeah, I think the reason Rotherham is they found themselves in this situation where they've had two good performances, one brilliant result, which was the win last weekend. And if they were to get another positive result this weekend, whether that be a win, whether that be a couple of bonus points, it all adds up.
Yeah, I'm looking down at the bottom of the National 2 North for the game of the week. There, that would be Huddersfield versus Preston. Preston, hoping that a win could reignite a bit of a fight back, I imagine.
Must win, I think.
National 2 South, we're kind of touching it. Bournemouth versus Westcliff, potentially just a spark for Bournemouth to maybe reignite something there.
Yeah, right. You know, if they do get the win, that could be the spark, the catalyst they need. I do think Westcliff will get the job done. I think they were excellent, Westcliff, against all the Redcliffians last weekend. 14-0 down inside the first 15 minutes, but were brilliant to score. I think it was 33 unanswered points, I think they got, which pretty much guided them to that win. And, you know, going down to Bristol for that, going up to Bristol for them, or across, or whatever it is, for them would have been a brilliant sort of bus journey home. And I think Peter and Jacob would have been, you know, going into training tonight, going into training on Thursday, and be going, but we need to build on this. You know, we've heard from the Henley lads tonight, it's all about taking one game at a time and focusing on the you know, the near future rather than looking at the bigger picture. And I do think Westcliff will get the job done, even though Bournemouth have put up a really good fight over the last couple of weeks.
We hope you've enjoyed listening. Myself and Chris can be found social media places. It's probably quite easy to find us. And yeah, thank you very much for listening, and I'm sure you'll hear us next time.